Israel's attack on Gaza, which it says is necessary in order to stop the ruling Hamas party from firing rockets into southern Israel, has resulted in a humanitarian disaster. As of January 13th, UN and medical personnel on the ground in Gaza estimate that over 900 Palestinians have been killed, with as many as half being civilians, including hundreds of women and children. 4,000 Gazans are reported injured. Israel has suffered 13 deaths, including 10 soldiers. The protests against Israel's air bombardment, which began December 27th, and ground invasion, which was launched on January 3rd, have been growing in size and number. Last weekend, protests were held in at least 114 American cities in 40 states and in many other cities around the world. In New Haven, Connecticut, about 200 people gathered for an indoor rally to hear a Palestinian-American, African-American Muslim, and Palestinian speakers denounce Israel. They called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as a short-term goal, and an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands as a necessary step to reach a peaceful, lasting settlement. One of the speakers at the rally was Adam Shapiro, an American Jew married to a Palestinian American, who together helped co-found the International Solidarity Movement. The ISM conducts nonviolent direct action in Palestinian lands to demand an end to the occupation. Two of their members, Rachel Corey and Tom Herndl, were killed by Israeli soldiers while committing acts of civil disobedience. In this excerpt of his talk, recorded and produced by Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus, Shapiro contrasts the silence of the dead in Gaza and the silence of those who refused to speak out against oppression.
So I started thinking about this idea of silence and the implications of it, right? And silence is very much connected to trying to obscure something, trying to keep something hidden. And this is what we're finding from the Israeli side, and what we have found from the Israeli side, even though it is the Israelis and their supporters around the world who will always step up and make sure and utilize the experience of history, most notably the Holocaust, as a reason not to forget and to speak out about whatever current victimization they can create and press people with, a sense of victimization. And I think now what we're seeing is the unveiling for the first time before American eyes and before the mainstream media, people are not buying it, right? Because when you go and you see a woman who's traumatized in Sderot, and not that I think she should be traumatized, but her trauma about a rocket that hit in a field somewhere nearby does not in any way compare to the silence of the dead that are piling up in Gaza. I agree with Tzvi Lipni, by the way. This is not a humanitarian crisis. There is a humanitarian disaster happening to the Palestinian people. But the crisis is a political man-made crisis, not a humanitarian crisis. And we should not think for a moment that just by pouring in aid and relief and development, that this is the way to help the Gazans or the Palestinian people. What Palestinians need, what we need to do, is politics. And we should not shy away from that anymore. We should not couch our politics or try to obscure them in some way to make them more palatable in terms of humanitarian concerns. Unfortunately, it's true, as Nada said, actually, it's a very good point, that in the Jewish community there are starting to be people speaking up and questioning. But too often among that community, and too often the way people feel comfortable talking about this, is that we need to stop this because of the humanitarian disaster that's happening. No, we need to stop this because Gaza is not free. We need to stop this because it is occupation. We need to stop this because it is a true crime. The Red Cross, its statement today about attacking the truck and not having access to the bodies to recover them and the injured, they pointed out that this was Israel's violation of international humanitarian law. Indeed, it is a violation of international humanitarian law. Unfortunately, under international humanitarian law, Israel can go and kill Palestinians. That's legal according to international law. Not civilians. They can't target civilians. But, you know, as long as they're, you know, targeting somebody called Hamas somewhere, right? International law gives them a pass. We need to challenge even international law. It's not enough anymore to stand up on international law. Nobody's listening to it anyway. We need to say clearly once and for all, there is no Palestinian, nowhere, who deserves or who is warranted to be killed by anybody, and certainly not by Israel. I think we're doing an amazing job. I see pictures and reports from all over the world, from big cities and small towns. My friend, who is a Jewish American, who is totally opposed to the Zionist regime, he heard that there was a pro-Israel gathering at some point in Washington, D.C. this week. He went out by himself with a sign challenging this rally. I think people are finding the courage. He would never have done that a year ago, 2 years ago. I think people are finding the courage to go and do such things. I think this is unprecedented, and I think it's amazing, and I think we need to keep it up. But let's remember this. What I would ask is that we not just keep it up for as long as the bombs are falling in Gaza. I've never come to hate a word like I hate the word ceasefire now. We need to keep this up. We need to keep up this pressure, because the goal is not ceasefire. The goal is not stopping the bombs from dropping that Israel is dropping on Gaza. The goal is an end to the occupation. And that requires all of us. That requires all of us to keep up our vigilance and to keep up our work. And even when the occupation is finished, and in this case I will use the analogy with apartheid, right? Our work, against apartheid was not finished when the law was changed and there was no more apartheid in South Africa. The work in South Africa today continues for justice, continues for rights for all people, because it's not just simply about ending an oppressive system, it's also about achieving justice. And so we must remember that also the occupation is the same. We must end it, but we must also continue to fight for all the rights of all Palestinians, the rights to return, the rights to their homes, the rights to every right that a Palestinian should have.
That was Adam Shapiro of the International Solidarity Movement. Visit the group's website at palsolidarity.org. Shapiro recently released a 6-part DVD about the history of Palestinians since 1948 that he helped produce, called Chronicles of a Refugee. Find more information at chroniclesofarefugee.org.